Folks, we are starting a new short sermon series this morning, a three-part series called Life by the Spirit. As you know, we've gone through the book of Galatians there, and there's the passages there that talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life, being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. I thought it would be good for us to go back and revisit that subject that is certainly worthy of a closer look here. So for today, then, we're beginning this by asking first, do you understand your position in Christ? And does your practice, does your Christian practice match up with your position, with who you are in Christ? I say, does your performance, if you will, line up with your title? Does what you do live up to who you are in Christ? There's who we are, and then there's what we do. Sometimes the two don't always match here. And I heard a story one time about some symphony musicians who had very little confidence in their new director. This new director had come in, and the musicians weren't feeling too confident in this new director and his abilities. They didn't think he was going to do a very good job, and their fears were realized at the very first rehearsal. And the cymbal player realized that the conductor didn't know what he was doing, and he got very upset, and so he angrily clashed his instruments together during a delicate and soft passage. The music stopped. And the conductor, highly agitated, looked around the orchestra and demanded to know, "Who did that? Who did that?" Okay. You didn't get that, did you? He's a conductor and he didn't realize that it was the cymbalist who crashed the cymbals together and made the sound. Oh, okay. Okay. I was afraid that might happen. See, one would think a conductor would know the sound of cymbals crashing, you see. So, what's my point? His performance wasn't matching up with his title, with his position there. Okay. Well, today then, we want to ask ourselves, do you understand your position in Christ? We'll be looking from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. And the thought that I want you to take away from this message here today is this, that understanding and acting on your position in Christ will transform your practice in Christ. Acting on your position in Christ will transform your practice in Christ. Now, what do I mean by position in Christ? Some of you are familiar with that term, with that concept. Others are wondering, what does this mean, my position in Christ? What do you mean? My position, like a job title? My position, do I have a job title here within the kingdom? Is it the place of ministry that I have within the church, within the body of Christ? No, that is not what I mean by your position in Christ. I'd like us to take a moment just to first to consider what I mean by this term, your position in Christ. Your position in Christ refers to this. I would define it as this. It is the full range of perfect, eternal blessings that God gave to you in Christ once and for all at the moment of your salvation. These blessings are yours. The moment you believed, you received these. You received these blessings. You were changed in a moment. You became a recipient of all of these blessings in Christ. At the moment you believed in Jesus, they are all that God has done for you. It's all that God has given to you. Who you are right now in Christ. Not who you're going to be someday, but who you are right now. Not things that have potential within you, but things that you possess fully and completely because they're given to you by God. Not potential, but actual, right now. Blessings that God has done for you, not because of anything you've done or I've done, but what God has done for you through faith in Christ. They're done, and nothing can change that. You can't add to them. You can't take away from them. And resting in these truths, these blessings, your position in Christ, enables us then to rest in the finished work of Christ. A theologian named Lewis Sperry Chafer, he was commenting on the position in Christ that we have, the blessings that we have in Christ. And he made a few statements about these blessings, about our position in Christ, that I'd like to share with you here this morning. First, one thing he said is that, you know, these blessings that we have in Christ are not all immediately and consciously experienced. You're probably not even consciously aware of many of these things, but they're true in Christ. They're not consciously experienced, but they are spiritual facts of life about you. I wonder if you know all of these things. But they're facts of life, spiritual facts out of life, out of which precious spiritual experiences may grow. So you were not consciously aware of all of these things, but the knowledge of these things and the practice of these things can lead to conscious awareness and experience then. The other thing he said is this: these blessings, they're not things that grow or progress. They're perfect and they're complete right now, the instant that they are possessed. The moment you believed, you had all of these things, and all of them are perfect and complete. There's nothing to be added to them. Two, then, he said, they are based on the work of Christ, not on human efforts. These aren't things that you and I can have if we'll just try a little bit harder. If we'll just try a little bit harder to please the Lord, then he'll give us these blessings. No, these are blessings that you received at salvation, at the moment of your salvation, because of what Christ did for you, not human efforts. He said, too, that they're eternal, that they belong to you now, that nothing will change them or take them away from you, and that we know these by revelation from God. We don't consciously experience all these things, but we know them. How do we know them? Because God's Word declares them to be so. It's been suggested that spiritual growth is the process of becoming in practice who we already are positionally in Christ. Becoming in practice who we already are positionally in Christ. So your position, that full range of perfect eternal blessings that God gave to you in Christ once for all at the moment of your salvation. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you possess these things now, all of them, perfectly and completely. Let's look at our scripture passage. Our scripture text is Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul is writing here and he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'd like us to consider some truths from this passage about you as a believer. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, what does this verse tell you about who you are in Christ, your position in Christ? First of all, it tells us that you have been crucified with Christ. If you put your faith in him, you've been crucified with Christ. Now, that can sound a little strange to our 21st century ears here. I've been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? Well, that means when you believed in Jesus for salvation, that you spiritually participated with the Lord in his crucifixion and his victory over sin and death. You share in the victory over sin and death with the Lord Jesus Christ. Death for sin and death to sin, and rising again in victory and power, that you participated with him, that God sees that what Christ went through on the cross, what he experienced and his rising again, that God sees you as participating with him in that very thing. Paul expanded on this concept in Romans chapter 6, we read from earlier. Take a moment as I read the first six verses of Romans chapter 6. Meditate for me, if you will, on what God has done for you in Christ, through your faith in Christ. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So you've been crucified with Christ. You've been united with Him, spiritually united, that God sees what happened to Jesus Christ is what's happened to you. This death for sin, this death to sin. And the benefits, then, of what Jesus has done are now yours. Through union with Christ, then, your position, your place in Christ is, first and foremost, that you've been justified. You've been justified. You've been made right with God. That you've been forgiven for your sin. Forgiven for your sin, all of your sin, all of your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin. You know, sometimes we might have this idea like, well, I believe in Jesus. Okay, I believe, and now God has forgiven me for my sin. And now all that stuff I've done in the past, okay, that's taken care of. And now I just better make sure I don't mess up again. Your sin has been forgiven in Christ. All of your sin has been forgiven in Christ. Past, present, and future. I'm not saying that because all of our sin is forgiven. Therefore, let us go on, and it doesn't matter that we sin. There are no consequences to sin because it's all forgiven. Scripture very clearly does not teach that. There are consequences. But this matter of forgiveness of our sin for our eternal destiny has been settled in the cross. And yes, if we go on willfully sinning, that brings God's discipline into our lives. Sometimes very tragic circumstances as a result of willful, sinful choices we might make. So that's why Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning? By no means. By no means. But God has justified you, forgiven your sin. And He's not only forgiven your sin, He's made you righteous before Him. That God sees you as holy and righteous. When He looks at Jesus the Son, when the Father looks at the Son and sees His holiness and His righteousness, God looks at you and says, that's yours too. Can you imagine that? But that's how God views you right now. Now, I know God is not unaware that we have not been glorified yet, is He? God knows that we still struggle with sin in this life and these bodies. But He sees the end. He's seen the end of the story. And He sees you as perfect and complete, righteous and holy in Jesus Christ. The moment you believe, that was yours and that is yours right now. One day, from our experience, it will be realized in practice. Not just in our position, but in practice when we're glorified. When we're no longer resident in these mortal bodies. But when our spirits have been set free, our spirits have been cleansed, and our bodies are resident in new, glorified bodies. Well, God already sees that. He already sees you in that way. You're justified, you're forgiven, and you're righteous. Righteous with the very righteousness of Christ. The text tells us here that the old you, your old self, that sinful self, it's been crucified. It's been judged. It's been given over to death on the cross. Your sin nature has been judged, and therefore sin no longer has mastery over you. We no longer have to sin. You don't have to sin anymore. Now somebody is saying, oh, wait a minute. What do you mean I don't have to sin anymore? Scripture says, you have been crucified with Christ and your sin nature, it is dead. I don't have to sin anymore. Well, let me tell you, you don't know some of the battles and the struggles that I face. I know that I didn't say that there weren't battles, that there weren't struggles. I'm not saying that this victory over sin and death, that appropriating this in our life is an easy thing to do always. It isn't. It is a battle, is a war. There's a reason why we call it spiritual warfare, isn't there? If you're familiar at all with war, if you are a veteran, if you've served in armed conflict, if you know anything about it, you know how ugly and brutal and nasty war can be. Well, we are engaged in a spiritual warfare that's been going on throughout all of human history and will continue until Christ comes again. And you and I are caught up in that, and that means that we are going to find ourselves in some ugly spiritual battles in our lives. But the truth is we have been equipped. Our sin nature, your old self, has been judged. It's been crucified. It is dead once and for all. But we still fight that battle until we're finally and fully glorified. But as far as your position in Christ, how God sees you, your sin nature is judged. It no longer has mastery over you. You and I don't have to sin. It's not easy to wage that battle, but we do not have to the way we once did before our sin nature was crucified with Christ. Paul says too, and I no longer live. You've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. You no longer live. That is, this old sin nature is judged. That self-righteous nature has been judged. That self-centered person, the sinful person, has died with Christ. And being crucified with Christ means the end of the enthronement of self, or that is, the putting self on the throne. Self is in charge of my life. That when you were crucified with Christ, that's over. That's over. A lot of us are wishing it really was over, though, isn't it? I mean, see, okay, self truly has been crucified with Christ, and yet I have to admit I'm still on the throne. I'm still the master and king of my life. But that person is dead in Christ. It's no longer you who lives, but it's Christ who lives in you. Christ who lives in you. So as a believer, you've been crucified with Christ, and Christ now lives in you. Scripture tells us that when you became a believer, that you are a new creation. A brand new person. As a new creation, then, you now have the privilege of the indwelling Christ who empowers you and lives through you. And how does He do this? He does this through His Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said toward the end of His earthly ministry, shortly before He completed His ministry on earth, He promised that another was coming, the Helper, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And that now Christ lives in you through the Holy Spirit. Call this the exchanged life. The exchanged life. We have exchanged the old, sinful, self-centered life for the new, righteous, Christ-centered, God-centered, holy life. We've exchanged reliance upon our old self, our old energy and resources and wisdom, and exchanged it for God's power, God's wisdom. How do we know God's power? How do we receive God's power? How do we know God's wisdom? Through His Word and through the Holy Spirit ministering in us and through us. It's an exchange life. Christ lives in you. You have been crucified with Christ. The sinful self is dead. And now Christ lives in you. This is your position in Christ. Also, though, you live by faith. You live by faith in your loving Savior. This new life that we have in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit isn't automatic. Wouldn't it be nice if it was automatic, that the moment we believed the Holy Spirit and just boom, instantly everything was changed and transformed and we never wanted to sin again and we never struggled with it ever. But that isn't how it works, though, is it? It is a battle. It is a struggle. But God's power must be received and appropriated, put into practice by faith. By faith. The life we live, we now live by faith. The Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Through faith, not through legalism and self-righteousness. Through faith, not through fleshly self-effort, but through faith, faith in God's resources, the Holy Spirit within, we're empowered to live the Christian life. You know, I've said before, and I think it's true, someone said, you know, the Christian life is not difficult. What? The Christian life, but let me finish, says, the Christian life is not difficult. It's impossible. And that's true, isn't it? The Christian life isn't difficult. It's impossible. We cannot live the Christian life if we're approaching it with this idea of, I just need to do better. I need to try harder. It's impossible. We'll never measure up. The Christian life is a life of faith, of Christ living His life through us, through you, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's difficult. Faith isn't always easy, is it? But through faith, His power is released in your life. Do you believe that Christ has saved you? Do you believe that He has saved you? Do you believe then that He has the power to sanctify you? To work within you to increasingly set you apart from sin. If you believe that He has saved you, we must also live through faith. We, in faith, believe He saved us. We must also, by faith, appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives for sanctification. This faith, then, it builds on the sacrifice of Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. In essence, what I think Paul is saying here is that if Christ loved me enough to give Himself for me, then He loves me enough to live out His life in me. If Christ loved you enough to give Himself for you, then He certainly loves you enough to live out His life in you. Do you believe that? The life that we live, we now live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Well, this morning we've considered just a few truths here from this one verse about our position in Christ. A little bit about who you are in Jesus Christ through faith. But I thought it would be good if we might take a moment here just to briefly consider a few more of the blessings that are yours through faith in Jesus Christ. There they are. And you want to know something, folks? That's not a complete list. That is not a complete list. There are other things. In fact, actually, I know you all love homework. Tell you what, why don't you see if you can come up with some others? And some of you are saying, what do you mean? I have to write all these down and then see? Well, yeah, you can do that. Or you can see me. I'll give you this list, okay? Let's see if you can find some other things in Scripture, because they are there. This isn't everything. This is just what we got to fit on the slide here today, okay? Let's look at this. Let's think about this just briefly. Don't think of this as just a list of things to contemplate. Think of this as you. I want you to put your own name there, saying, this is what God has done for you in Christ. This is who you are in Christ. You're crucified with Christ, like we talked about. In other words, your sin nature has been judged It's died with Christ. You've died with Christ. You've been buried with Christ. And you've been raised with Christ. Why is that such a wonderful thing? Because it means that we share in Christ's victory over sin and death. That we have hope. That death is no longer the enemy for us. That our sin nature has been dealt with decisively in the cross of Jesus Christ. We've been forgiven through that. We will be raised in glorious power. That the death is not the end for us. The only thing that death is the end of. Death is the end of sin and sorrow. Been crucified with Christ, died with Christ, buried with Christ, and raised with Christ. We've been ascended with Christ. That Christ, when He ascended into heaven, that we have been raised up with Him there now. That we are seated with Him in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. That you spiritually participate with Christ in that. One day you will know it in practice, not just in position now. Did you know that you are a gift from the Father to the Son? You thought about that? Is there someone in your life that you think of as being a gift? That this person is a gift of God to you? A spouse, a friend, someone that this person is a gift of God to you. Do you know the Scripture says that you, as a believer, that you're a gift from the Father to the Son. Now I see some smiles. Some of you are thinking that, oh, I don't think this person is such a gift in my life. What do you mean my spouse is a gift to me? Well, it's true. Okay? But you as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a gift. God the Father gave you to the Son as a gift. It's who you are in Jesus. You're the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. Do you think anyone loves his bride more than Jesus? You're the bride of Christ. You're the inheritance of Christ. That, in other words, that the Father, you're the gift from the Father to the Son. You're the precious possession of the Son, His bride, and His inheritance, that He has inherited you. You are the possession of God, that you belong to God. You are in His hand. Nothing can take you out of His hand. That you're born of the Spirit, that you have come into new life through the Spirit. Born again, made new, a new life, a brand new life. That you're baptized by the Spirit. That is, you're set apart and identified with Christ. That you are indwelt by the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. In that dynamic, powerful relationship. That you're sealed by the Spirit. It's a guarantee that God is going to finish the work that He has begun in you. You are the object of God's love. You're the object of God's grace. The object of God's power. The object of God's faithfulness. Of God's peace. Of God's encouragement. Of Christ's intercession. His prayer that Christ lives to make intercession. To pray for you. That you're a citizen of heaven. No longer a citizen of this world. But a citizen of heaven. That you're a member of God's family. That you are a son. You are a daughter of the living God. God's precious child. That you're a recipient of a heavenly inheritance. The hope of heaven. You know, we did a series on heaven a while back. I think it's so easy for us to forget what awaits us, what awaits you as a believer in Jesus in heaven. Amazing thing that is. So there's just a few blessings that you have in Christ that are yours, that belong to you right now. Acting on your position in Christ will transform your practice in Christ. By acting on one of those, we need to live our life. When I say acting on our position, that means living our lives in accordance with these truths. not living as if you are a child of God, because you are a child of God. Living as a child of God, not as if you were, but because you are. Acting as if God had blessed you with all of these things. No, acting because God has blessed you in all of these things and more. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know what you have in Christ? Have you died to self? You know, there may be a crisis moment in our lives. I've certainly had a few crisis moments in my life. Anyone else here? Yeah. We might have a spiritual crisis moment when a major decision was made. But you knew God's Spirit was working in your heart and your life, and you made a decision. You made, you know, certainly the from salvation, but beyond that, when maybe you realized, I need to surrender to God. That I've got this stuff in my life. I've been living for myself and not living for Christ's glory. And there's a crisis moment of surrender. Sometimes people use different words, and we call it dedication to the Lord or a rededication. There may be a crisis moment in your life that you've experienced that. Or maybe there's one coming. Dying to self, a crisis moment. But I think, though, in Scripture, dying to self, while it may include a crisis moment like that, the biblical picture of dying to self is a daily decision, isn't it? Sometimes it's a minute-by-minute decision. So we're going through our lives and something comes up and, oh, there's that person there. What am I going to say to him? What am I going to say to her? And I know what my flesh wants to do, but no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to die to myself, my selfishness, and my wants. And I'm going to act as Christ would act. That's a moment-by-moment dying to self, a daily decision, isn't it? To say, who's in charge here, me or the Spirit of God? Dying to self is saying that it's the Spirit of God who's in charge of my life. And sometimes that's a moment-by-moment decision. Walking in the Spirit is the Spirit of God in charge in your life. Walking in the Spirit means walking in obedience to the Word. Even when the battle rages within and without, especially when the battle rages within and without. Being obedient to the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit as you're yielded to Him in faith, yielding in faith to the Spirit's power and control. We're going to have quite a bit more to say about that in the next 2 weeks. But that really is the key to victorious Christian living, isn't it? Walking in the Spirit, walking in the power of the Spirit. You live by faith. You walk by faith in what God has said, and what God said is true of you. Or you go by sight, by conscious experience. Well, I don't feel particularly victorious in Christ. Well, you are. Regardless of how we may feel. Regardless of how things may look. Do you live by faith? Do you believe that God has the will and the power to sanctify you, to change you, to grow you into the image of Christ? Do you believe what Scripture says about who you are in Christ? Acting on your position in Christ will transform your practice. In Christ. Let's pray. Father, our hearts and our minds are overwhelmed when we contemplate the blessings that are ours through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not things that we'll someday have, but blessings that belong to us right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we've celebrated Thanksgiving this last week, and we've gathered with friends and family. We've talked about those things for which we are thankful in our lives, but oh Lord, for what can we possibly be more grateful than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings that you've given to us in Him, through faith in Him. God, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we as individuals and that we as a church here would each day reflect more and more the life of the Holy Spirit, His power in us and through us, rather than the life of self, the death, really, of self. That we have died to self when we were crucified with the Lord Jesus. The life we now live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Father, may our hearts, may this church be increasingly transformed. Be a church that walks by the Spirit, bringing honor and glory to you. And we pray this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.